Hello and welcome to another Lighthouse Video Podcast. I'm Pastor Jeff Glenn, and it's my pleasure to take you through the Bible and look for some encouragement today. It's May 26th, so if you remember, just 40 days ago, we began our little series here where we are talking about when Jesus met the disciples on the road to Emmaus and began to reveal himself to them through the Old Testament scriptures. And so today in history is the day of Christ's ascension. And we see that in Luke 24, 50 through 51. And he led them out as far as Bethany and lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted up from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. So we've been, like I said, looking at these Old Testament scriptures that Jesus could have used to illuminate the disciples' understanding of him in the Old Testament. And so it's really been enlightening for me, and I hope it has been enlightening for you as well. You know, and if you've been blessed by this, you know, make some comments and even share it. And we'll continue this for a few more weeks. I mean, we could actually continue this for quite a while. There's so much to explore of Jesus in the Old Testament. And so perhaps through Pentecost or so, another couple of weeks, but nonetheless, I encourage you to continue studying on your own and looking for Christ on every page of the scriptures, including the Old Testament. And so for today, since it is the historic day of his ascension, we'll ask that question and hopefully be able to answer well in our time. Did the Old Testament predict Christ's ascension? And the short answer is yes. But more accurately, it patterned it. And it did so in a number of ways. And we'll look at the ascension. And as we do so today, let's consider David's question in Psalm 24:3. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? So let's start with a quick look at Christ's ascension and its importance. You know, what is it? What was it? Far from merely just being Jesus taken into heaven or taken into the clouds, his ascension was significant for many reasons. And we're going to blaze right through these because there's many. And so I am encouraging you to study some more on your own. Firstly, it marked his completion of his earthly ministry. We see that in Hebrews 10:12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. So the right hand is this place of authority, and it signifies God's approval of Jesus' earthly ministry and the completion of his earthly ministry. And secondly, almost simultaneously, but secondly, it marked Jesus' exaltation. And we could spend the entire series on this, and we may spend some time looking into this further, but we see this in Ephesians 1:18 through 23. So in this passage, Paul's sharing his heart and prayer for the church, and he says that he hopes that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance to the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ, and when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So even in this passage, we could spend a lot of time considering that. But Jesus is exalted, right? He's lifted up. He's given the seat of power of God with all things under his feet, you know, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And so this is where Jesus is exalted. And then it began Jesus's heavenly priesthood on our behalf, and it gives us hope of our answered prayer. We see this in Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And then, for our significance, we see that it emphasizes heaven's reality. So Christ visibly and bodily ascended into heaven to be with Father, or with God the Father. And Jesus told us of this, told his disciples of this before in John 6:62, and he says, "What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before?" And then he follows this up in John 14:2 about where he's going. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." So this is heaven's reality. And then we see that it was necessary, Christ's ascension was necessary, so that we would receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, again, telling his disciples in John 16:7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." And then sixthly, it assures us of our future ascension. In John 14:1-3, Jesus is telling his disciples, "Let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, also believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you so. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you to myself. And where I am, there you may be also." And then we also see that the church was founded after Christ's ascension. And we see this in Ephesians 4:8-10, but also all through Acts, right? "Therefore," he says, "when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended," what does it mean? "But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth, that he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things." And so that gives us the scope, kind of the importance, and what is the ascension of Christ. And we see the significance as well. And so now we can see throughout the Old Testament where it was patterned and promised. And so, like many of these studies, it's really rich, and I recommend that you be good Bereans and study on your own. I'll also leave some passages in the comments myself for you to consider for sake of time. But as we study, we can see these bits and pieces of the ascension in the Old Testament, either, as I've said, as promises or patterns. And we'll see that in three or four ways here real quick. Firstly, we see this in Enoch. In the genealogy in Genesis 5, we see Enoch. And then later in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews in 11:5 says, "By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. Before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God." And then we see this pattern in Elisha. And we pick this story up in 2 Kings 2:1. "And it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went to Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, 'Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel.'" And then he continues in 2 Kings 2:9-14. "And so it was, when it crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, 'Ask what I may do for you before I am taken away from you.' And Elisha said, 'Please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me.' And so he said, 'You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken away from you, it shall be for you. But if not, it shall not be so.' Then it happened, and they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up in a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, 'My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and his horsemen.' So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elisha that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elisha that had fallen from him. So here we see Elijah, right? We have a man of God who, upon his leaving, anoints another to continue his work, promising a double portion of his spirit. And so what a great pattern or a great picture. And then we see in Mount Sinai and Moses. So Moses went up or ascended Mount Sinai to be with God. So we see the mountain was covered in clouds, and Moses spent his 40 days there, and he received the Ten Commandments, and he communicated with God. And then later, he brought up the 74 elders. And we see this in Exodus 24, 9 through 10. Then Moses went up, also Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet as if it was a paved work of sapphire stone, and it was like the very heavens in its clarity. So here we have Moses, who again is a man of God, who's ascended to Mount Sinai, and now he's bringing with him others who choose to follow God. And so in these three men, Elijah, Enoch, and Moses, God's chosen messengers. They were obviously imperfect, but they pointed to the reality that God is high and lifted up, and that God needs to be approached on his terms, under his sovereignty. And without that way of approaching him, it's impossible to approach God. And so we need a better mediator. We need a better go-between. And so we see that better mediator in Jesus at his ascension, being seated at the right hand of God, being given all power and all authority over all times, both that which was and which is to come. And so this time has flown by, and I encourage you to study Christ's ascension and even his exaltation on your own. And maybe we'll even cover his exaltation in a future podcast here. But I hope this has blessed you as it has me. And so have a great rest of your week.